You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game
here. Okay.
I'm being here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Late clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to Football to Football. We are still trying to work the kinks out of this new desktop app for Spreaker, but it seems to be working pretty well when I don't screw up on the technical side. But I am your host, Sean Garmer, and with me today, after we witnessed another ridiculous Thursday night game, my God, I don't think we've had some crazy endings, but that one was pretty crazy. Gary Vaughn and Randy Isbell, what are y'all up to today?
I am just, hanging out. I'm glad to be here tonight and, ready to talk about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is probably a little bit more religious after that Hail Mary.
Randy?
I just want to know how many people still think it's 17-0.
That's exactly what it seemed like was going to happen when we got to that point, but hey, things change. That's why you got to play all four quarters, and especially in a divisional game, and especially against Aaron Rodgers, you can't be taking anybody lightly, honestly. But yeah, it was 17-0 at the half. Detroit made it a 20-0 game, and then all of a sudden, the Packers defense tightened up, and man, they did not let up after that. Just, I think Detroit scored one more field goal, and that was about it. Everything else was Packers, Packers, Packers. Davante Adams finally scored a touchdown. The running game was terrible for the Packers again, which was one of the reasons why Rodgers getting sacked. They couldn't do anything for a while. It was all Rodgers to Rodgers, really, for a lot of this game, as it was on the Hail Mary at the end. But, I mean, what did you guys see here? Because I just feel so bad for Detroit, honestly.
It's a heartbreaker for Detroit. The way I look at it is they had an opportunity to slip away from they got up heavy and fast, and then all of a sudden they just seemed to slip away because of the Packers' defense did start to tighten up. And but you got to give credit to where credit's due. I mean, Aaron Rodgers stayed in there and fought through it, and they never really gave up. Though, for me personally, I probably would have been concerned, especially there at the end, but they never did. And they were able to score a touchdown, get there right in the game, and then get the ball back. And, but it really, to me personally, if it wasn't for a few things that Matthew Stafford fumbling and some other issues that the Lions had, I don't think the game would have been close.
What do you think, Randy?
Yeah, just a weird game. Just, Lions looked so dominant at the beginning, and it really looked like, we were going to just see both teams continue in the directions they were going. The Lions have been red hot, and the Packers just have not been able to get anything going on offense. And just all of a sudden, it kind of switched. It was just a very weird game to watch, that's for sure.
Well, did that Hail Mary save the Packers season? Okay. Well, was their season really that bad at that point?
You know, for me, you know, I think it definitely saved their season to an extent because they've been on a free fall. And, you know, they weren't out of it, of course, you know. At the time, they were, what, 7-4. So, I mean, they'd have been 7-5 and still a lot better than a lot of other teams. you know, you can point at several different teams in the NFC and say, oh, wow, still better than those guys. But this definitely helped them. They get to that 8 mark. And, you know, the rest of their schedule, you know, does still have some challenges. But, you know, you got to feel a lot more confident about the Green Bay Packers now that they did win that game.
Randy, is this one of those losses going to haunt them? I mean, not that they really have a much of a season anymore now, but is this one of those losses going to haunt them for the rest of it?
Nah, I mean, because like you said, they were basically out of it anyways. I mean, sure, they could have somehow ran the table and given themselves a chance at the wild card, but this is just how the entire season has gone for Detroit. I mean, they had that glimmer of hope with the 3-game winning streak, and they were looking better. But just, I mean, this is the Detroit Lions this year where they just can't finish games and they can't close things out. And listen, I'm just going through social media, getting ready for this podcast and just watching the complete ridiculous reactions from people. And it's like, listen, the Lions made the mistakes, whether it was a face mask or not.
Well, what was it a face mask to you?
This is the way I look at it. If they go back next year and change it where, like, something like a face mask is reviewable, which I don't think it should be, and you're able to slow it down like that, it's a ticky-tack call at that point if you have the ability to slow it down like we were able to see it on the telecast. His hand grazes the face mask, and Aaron Rodgers' head turns. So at that point, it can kind of classify as being a face mask, but when you watch that full time, like if you never saw a replay and I just let you watch that play 10 times at full speed, you're calling it a face mask 10 out of 10 times. Because it looks like his hand drills the face mask and his head just rips to the side. So it looks like he gets a good handful at full speed every time you watch the full speed version of it. So yeah, I mean, it definitely sucks for them, but I think it is a face mask. And even worse, with the Hail Mary, you only bring 3, which allows him to roll out of the pocket to get the throw off in the first place. And then for whatever reason, you have every single defender behind every Packer. There was not a line within 10 yards of Richard Rodgers that entire play. So they were able to set up a screen-like situation and let a big man jump up unguarded. It was just terrible defending on that whole play. So, I mean, yes, it was a wacky last couple plays there, but the Lions only have themselves to blame.
Yeah, and they had themselves to blame on that Hail Mary where they basically clear it out, but they forget about Richard Rodgers, and the ball goes right to him. And it's just like, wow, the only guy you don't block or you don't cover or get in front of, and he's the one that catches the ball. And, you know, that's on them as well. So, I mean, I feel bad for them because they had played so well throughout the game. And then you have something dumb like that where you basically just kind of the defense loses where they are and all those kinds of things, and it's just like, ah, man, what could have been, but it is what it is. The Lions go to 4-8 now. The Packers move up to 8-4, and they still get to play the Vikings at the end there. So they're in good position now. And that, you know, the worst thing is for the Bears, who, I mean, we'll talk about them. They have a nice matchup here, and they could have gone up in the standings, and now it kind of hurts them too. So the Lions pretty much just kind of continued to make it a two-horse race that it already was with this loss here. So all right, but I think we we kind of covered it all with this game here. I mean, it was really one of those tale of two halves games. If you want to give it a theme or anything, that's kind of what this was. Yeah. So let's move along to the rest of week 13, which this is the first week where we don't have a bunch of games on a Thursday, or so this is the first week where it's full time back to no buys. So a lot more games here to talk about, a lot more games for us to cover. And in fact, we're employing Gary for this week and for the rest of the weeks going forward. Gary's going to be doing two games aside from the games that we all do together. And we do have a game of the week for this week 13, and it's going to be the Seattle Seahawks having to go into Minnesota and take on the Vikings, who, again, are going to be looking to extend their lead in the Seahawks. You know, they're not in dire straits where they can't lose a game, but they certainly don't want to lose any if they don't have to. And this is their last, like, one of their games where they're really facing a tough opponent until they play Arizona at the end. So, you know, for Randy here, do you think we've seen what happens when you stop Peterson? Bridgewater isn't. You know, he proves to be a quarterback that has a problem with handling the pressure. Do you think that means that Seattle's defense plays better than Minnesota's defense? Or is it kind of a wash?
No, I think Seattle's defense is going to play a bit better than the Vikings defense for exactly what you said. Seattle is really good against the run. Allowing less than 100 yards per game. So I don't see Peterson having a great performance here. So it is on Bridgewater, and at that time it's slightly sketchy. So to me, it really comes down to his decision-making and not making mistakes. I think this game is one of those where neither team really pulls ahead by that much. I think it's always going to be a one-score game all the way. And it's just who makes that mistake that costs his team the game, and hopefully for Minnesota, it's not Bridgewater.
Well, Gary, on the other end, you know, we saw Pittsburgh last week kind of just keep Russell Wilson in the pocket, but then he burned him on a lot of those. You know, what's the strategy here for Minnesota? Do you use the same strategy and just hope that your corners are better at tackling than the Steelers' corners, or do you just go all out and try to stop Thomas Rawls, or what's your strategy here for the Vikings?
Well, you know, I find the Vikings, I'm definitely making sure I keep an eye out for the run, because Seattle would love to gouge you with it. They do their best too when they have the opportunity. But really, honestly, you know, they have been relying on Russell Wilson. He's been, you know, making things happen for that team. And I try to, you know, kind of match what the Pittsburgh Steelers did a little bit. And, you know, you have to depend on that secondary to try to, you know, give you their best, you know, hopes and chances to stopping the, you know, the receivers of Seattle. And let's be honest, I mean, Baldwin had a great game last week. He looked really good, but I mean, none of these receivers are just, you know, great top, you know, 20 receivers. I mean, they are, you know, average, but they get the job done because they get plenty of time to get open because of Russell Wilson. So I think the key is stopping Russell Wilson. If you can stop him and you can keep an eye on the run and not let the run gouge you, you have a good chance of winning.
Well, Gary, I mean, do you start Peterson in this game against such a formidable Steelers defense like this?
You can never bench Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you've got to always keep in your starting lineup. I don't care if he's playing God. I mean, he's it's crazy to say. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's going to get you yards. And if you're lucky, if anything, turnovers happen. I mean, he's the guy that they're going to depend on to get it through, you know, from the 2-yard line. And, of course, you know, you never know. This guy can break out at any moment and any time. So I really feel like you never bench Peterson.
Who's that one guy you're looking for from the Seahawks do you think could be, you know, one of those sleeper starts?
You know, there's different guys that you could look at here. I mean, I still think that, you know, I just kind of talked about the Vikings having to keep close on this receivers and they're not the greatest receivers. But, you know, I look at a guy like Kearse, who could be, you know, a secret weapon there. But for me personally, I mean, you know, I think either him or Wilson, you know, because they've depended on Jimmy Graham a whole lot. If they can get Wilson open, he's a guy that could secretly get, you know, some, you know, points on the board.
All right, fair enough. So who do you have winning this game?
For me personally, I would love to choose the Vikings, but I've got to go the other way. I agree with Randy completely. I think Seattle's defense plays better, and I think that's what elevates them to win the game.
Randy?
Yeah, I think Seattle's defense plays good, and I'm very curious to see if Russell Wilson can continue his growth in throwing in the pocket. But give me Minnesota at home in a really close game.
I'm going to say Minnesota as well. I think Peterson has a better day than expected, and I think that helps their passing game a bit. And, yeah, I think you're winding up with a Vikings win. So we move on to Randy having to watch the Battle of New Jersey between the Jets and Giants taking on each other. This is only a thing that happens every 4 years, unless it's a special occasion or preseason or something like that. But so you know, we've seen Eli. We've seen he didn't do it in the last game, but we have seen Fitzpatrick throw some over under 3.5 interceptions in this game, period.
Ooh. That's tough. I'm going to say under. I think each throw is one. I would possibly say more, but the Jets secondary is pretty banged up. It doesn't look like Revis is going to go again. So that definitely opens things up for Eli. So, yeah, I will say under.
Gary?
Yeah, you know, I think with, you know, the information that Revis is not going to be there, it does affect, and I think it will be under as well. But, I mean, I'm right there with him. I kind of feel like there will be at least one interception, if not more, but not 3.5.
Well, who has the better game, Brandon Marshall or Odell Beckham, Gary?
I you know what, I still think Brandon Marshall. I just don't trust that Giants defense. I you know, even if Revis isn't playing, the Jets secondary is still good, and they can still control things. So I feel like, you know, Beckham's a great receiver and he's going to do his thing, but I could see Marshall getting hot in this game.
All right. Well, I mean, who's that? Is it Reuben Randall? Who's that guy that you think you need to, if you're looking for somebody, say you're out there on the waiver wire and you know that maybe Decker and Marshall are taken, you know what EB's taken. You know, who are you looking for on that?
You know, if you're looking for a Giants receiver, I'm looking at Dwayne Harris as being a sneaky play. We've seen him have success with Eli Manning. Manning can trust him. He's a speedy guy as well. So, you know, watch out for him. He could be a guy that, you know, everybody's looking at him at the end of the day as either being the leading receiver or being the guy that gets the touchdowns.
Who would you start, Eli or Fitzpatrick?
It's really tough because I think both these teams are going to be in it. I think they're going to, you know, kind of go back and forth. That's tough because I like this Jets defense. But then again, I'm an Eli Manning guy because of the fact that I see it over and over again and the stat lines he puts up in fantasy. You know what? I'm going to edge it towards Manning. I like Fitzpatrick a lot. But I don't know. I just have this gut feeling that Manning's going to have just a little bit better of a day. Doesn't mean he's going to win the game. Just means he's going to have a better day in fantasy.
All right. Well, who is going to win the game?
For me personally, I'm going JETS Jets.
I'm going with the Jets, too.
Yeah, give me the Jets as well in their second quote-unquote road game that's not really a road game of the season.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. You got to love that, though.
Yeah, it's like, well, we play in the same stadium. Somebody's got to be the road team, quote-unquote. But, yeah, so the Houston Texans try to continue their role as they go into Buffalo and take on those Buffalo Bills and Mr. Rex Ryan. Randy, I mean, which defense wins the battle here?
And that's, I think that's the perfect question, is which defense wins it, because I don't think you can really rely on the offenses doing amazing things and just blowing this out. I mean, this could be a first one to 14 wins. But I think it's Buffalo's defense. I mean, they're at home. They've shown signs with Rex Ryan of being very formidable. It's just since Tyrod Taylor's injury, he just hasn't been the same, so they're not able to really put up the points for him. But I think they bounce back from their Kansas City game where they kind of let things slip. Yeah, and they take advantage of a slightly less talented offense. So I'll say the Buffalo defense is better.
All right, Gary, how many sacks will be happening in this game? Over, under, six?
Ooh, that's a good question. And the reason it is because, you know, no matter what, I mean, you're going to see Tyrod Taylor running and running a lot for his life, or just because he wants to get people open. You know what? I think I will take it, though, because I feel like the Buffalo Bills still have a strong defense. You know, even though they've had, you know, their issues here and there, I think they can get to the quarterback. And we've seen the Houston Texans do it as of late really good. So I think I will take the six.
So you're not going to say over or under, you're going to...
I'll say over, because I feel like Tyrod Taylor is going to get himself in some trouble here, and I can see the same for Hoyer.
All right. Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, give me the over, too. It's like I said, it's going to be a very defensive game and a lot of three and outs, a lot of struggle to move the ball.
Gary, who has the better day in fantasy, Sammy Watkins or DeAndre Hopkins? We have seen Hopkins have a couple of subpar games recently.
We have, and, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Yates was, you know, really working well with him, wasn't he? And with Hoyer, it seems kind of slowing down a little bit. But Sammy Watkins has been the guy. You know, last week we were talking about this, and Randy was kind of pointing out that, I mean, everything that was thrown towards Watkins was getting caught. So that's a good dynamic. This is a great question because of the defenses that are both going to be so good. It's hard for me to pick. But you know what? If I'm going to put my money on anybody, I'm going to put it on Hopkins. He's been one of the better receivers in this league. That's what I'm going to go off of in this game.
All right. Well, who's winning?
Give me Buffalo at home.
You know what? Buffalo at home would be good, but I'm going to go with Houston. They've just been so hot lately.
I'm going to go with Buffalo. It's hard not to go with the home team in this situation here. So we go on with this again. A team that got really close without Drew Brees beating Carolina. Carolina has to go into the Superdome and New Orleans, not the Silverdome. Gary, what percentage of a chance do you give the Saints offense of keeping it? Do you think this becomes a shootout game here between these two? Or
no. I just to be frank with you, no, I don't. You know, Drew Brees is great, but, you know, he can't do it all by himself, and not with this offense. Just Carolina's defense is smothering. They're going to get to Brees. They're going to do everything possible to just keep him at a low production. So, no, I don't see it as being a shootout at all.
All right. So, is this the case? So do you see Randy have? Does Cam Newton have another big day against this terrible Saints defense?
Oh yeah, I think Carolina just lights it up, and kind of on the point where you with the question that you just asked Gary, I would more lean towards New Orleans continuing this streak of not scoring a touchdown more than them really putting up points. I just don't see this being close, even though it is in New Orleans. I mean, obviously it's a division game, so we could both be completely wrong, and New Orleans is that team that really steps up and shocks them. But I just don't see it. I mean, Carolina is just playing far too good. They've had three extra days of rest because they played on Thanksgiving. Everything's lining up for Carolina in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that then. You're saying this is gonna be one of those games where they don't score touchdowns. So, how many points do the Saints score at all?
I will say they score a touchdown in the game. I'll give them 13.
Oh man, you're so polite, Randy. I'll go with 6 points.
So 6 points again. Wow.
Yep.
All right. I'll go in between and say 10. They do get a touchdown.
But yeah, I think you guys could be right on the touchdown part because junk time, I didn't put that into consideration.
Well, I mean, is there anyone that you start on the Saints aside from maybe Drew Brees?
No. Not for me personally. You can't trust any of the receivers. The running backs are not going to be
effective. Not even Mark Ingram, who's been kind of matchup proof?
You know, Mark Ingram's a great back, but I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm going to trust him against a defense like this. I just don't think they're going to allow it to happen. You can try it just like Breeze, but if you have a better option than Breeze, I would play somebody over Breeze this week. In fact, I am. And so, which is, you know, surprising for most weeks.
Watch Breeze go out there and score 35 points.
You're correct, because when I don't start him, that's what happens.
So, we've already made our points. So is it like 50 to 10 or 50 to 13? Or how many points are the Panthers scoring in this obvious Panthers win, I guess, that we're all predicting here?
No, I wouldn't go that high. Let's go 35 to 13.
Oh, okay. Actually, just when you asked that, Sean, I thought immediately 38 to 6.
Jeez. I'll go with that 27 to 10 number. That seems to be their sweet spot, really.
Yeah, and when we come back Monday and talk about how New Orleans won this game 28 to 10.
You're exactly right, Randy. That's what happens on this show.
Yeah, right. So, another team that's been kind of flying high, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're taking on a division foe themselves, and the Oakland Raiders in the black hole. Is this a trap game for Kansas City?
You know, I heard I'm blanking on the athlete, the ex-football player who said this, but they had said that there are no trap games at this time of the year, because everybody knows who everybody is, and they know each other, they know themselves. Which, you know, I can see, and then again, I kind of disagree with, because any given Sunday, anything can happen. So is it a trap game? I'm not sold that it's just a trap game, but I definitely see that, you know, the Oakland Raiders could have some success, despite the fact that, man, that Chiefs defense is looking good. So it could be. You could be right.
Yeah, I don't really classify this as a trap game. They're going on the road against a team that has one fewer loss than them. This definitely could be a game that gives Kansas City a lot of trouble, but I think we're underselling Oakland a little bit if we call it a trap game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is this who winds up having the better day then? Derek Carr or Alex Smith? Alex Smith has been doing pretty well lately.
Ooh, that's a good question, Sean. And the reason it is because, like you said, Alex Smith has been a lot better at this portion of the year compared to, you know, some of the other games earlier in this season. And Carr, I mean, he's just doing the same. I mean, he's continued week to week having success. I don't think it's going to matter towards the score of the game, possibly, but I'm going to edge mine over to Carr. I like his options better than I really do everything that Alex Smith has.
Fair enough. Well, we have seen Jeremy Maclin be kind of hot lately, and, you know, Amari Cooper, he's kind of actually gone in the other direction. So if you had them both in your team, who are you starting?
Ooh, that is a good question, isn't it, Randy?
Yeah. I don't own either of these guys in any of my teams. But yeah, I'm almost to the point where I don't care who else I have. I might start both.
Which I do have them. I have both of them, and I don't know. I have them in a couple leagues. Amari Cooper was a big draft pick for me this year in most of my leagues. You know, if I'm picking one or the other, you know, I got to lean towards Maclin here. I love Cooper. I think he's got a lot of skill sets. I think he can make things happen. And me saying this means he's going to score 3 touchdowns this weekend. But I just think that, you know, Maclin and Smith are starting to get back on a roll. And Cooper right now is not there. Carr is using other options. So I think I'll go with Maclin.
All right, fair enough. Well, who do we have winning this game?
You know me and my chief love this year. Give me Kansas City.
I've been wanting to root for Derek Carr. Not really the Raiders, but I root for the Raiders because of Derek Carr. But I got to go with the Chiefs. I mean, I don't think this is the time that they get stopped.
Well, fair enough. But, you know, you were right on the Raiders last week, Gary. So maybe you're right on. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Chiefs on this one. So we move it again to another divisional game in the NFC South, with Atlanta taking on Tampa Bay in the where the pirate ship resides. This one's a rough one. I mean, neither one of these defenses have been really all that great. So, fact or fiction, there will be 4 touchdowns scored by receivers in this game.
I am going to say,
apparently Devontae Freeman is...
Yeah, that's what's, good. What's making me hesitate. I'm going to say fiction just for the fact that I do think Freeman gets a couple touchdowns for Atlanta. I think Tampa Bay does rely on the running game a lot. Doug Martin has been just putting up yards just in bunches, and they like Charles Sims in the passing game. And at some point, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Mr. Questionable himself, will ever find the field again. And mess things up. I swear that guy was amazing the first 2 weeks and then got injured. And they're like, he'll be out for 3 weeks. That was 10 weeks ago. And every week it's he's coming back this week. And then Saturday comes along. No, never mind. He's not playing. We were just kidding. Yeah. But no, as far as wide receivers go, I'll go under just because I think both running backs on both teams really do get into the passing game a lot.
I'm going to go fiction as well. And, you know, the running game is a big part of it. I think Randy's correct on that. And it's something else I want to add to this is not all these, you know, points have to be scored by, you know, the offense. I can see some pick sixes happen.
True. That's very true. So on the other end for Atlanta, you know, traditionally they aren't the greatest road team. So are you ready to say that, Gary? Are you ready to say that over under Atlanta has 2 turnovers forced in this game?
Ooh. If you would have just flipped it, I would have took the over. I think that Winston, you know, is definitely susceptible to interceptions just because he's still a young quarterback. He's had some good games and he's had some very subpar games. And interceptions has been a big key of that. You know what? I'll take the under, and that's a big gamble because I'm more leaning towards the over. But you know what? I think that I'll take the under on this one.
All right, Gary, there's interesting matchups which each of the three positions. Who are you taking in each one?
Each of the positions?
Quarterback, running back, and the lead receiver. Who do you think has the better game?
In each of those positions?
Yes.
Okay, and that's I can choose from either team. So let's see here. If I'm going points wise, I'm looking to say that, and this may be a surprise to people, but I think I would take Jameis Winston. I think his legs are going to be a bigger factor. We've seen Matt Ryan struggle this year. He's been a little erratic, not as accurate as we've known Matt Ryan to be. So that's what I'm going to go with here. He may have a perfect game this week, but from what I've seen, Matt Ryan has not been perfect, and I'll take Jameis Winston and his legs. And running back-wise, I'm looking at if Freeman's coming back, I think Freeman can have a pretty good game. Doug Martin's a close second for me. If that's the way it works out, if Freeman does not play, if he is not full practice, I would take Doug Martin. But right now I'm going to pretend that, you know, Freeman's healthy. Receiver, Julio Jones all the way. You can't get past that. I think Evans is great. I love Evans, but man, Julio Jones has been, you know, in the past a really good threat, and I think this could be a really breakout game for him.
All right. That's fair. I mean, I think it's sort of like really this game's going to be interesting because, you know, Mike Evans is that kind of guy that can be like the only receiver that Jameis throws to. Mm-hmm. Same thing with where on the Falcons, Julio can be that guy, you know. So, and let's see if Devontae Freeman's the key there, but who wins?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to go on a limb here, but I don't know that the Atlanta Falcons are still mentally ready to win a game. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Bucs.
That's yeah, exactly where I'm going.
Yeah, you sweep it here.
Well, you know what's going to happen on that. So we move on to one of these games that we're going to go through two games here. Well, one of these games that Miami technically is still not eliminated. But, man, I don't know. I really think both of these teams are eliminated at this point. But Baltimore and Miami. Woo. You know what? How about this question? Matt Schaub has a better game than Ryan Tannehill.
I'll let
I know
Randy
you're
go
rare to answer that question, Gary, because I know what your answer is.
I'm going to go with the unbiased person, Randy.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think either is going to have a great game. Who watches this game? Oh, good, it's
me.
You.
Okay. Yeah. Because I have to deal with the Dolphins.
No, I as far as like more fantasy points, I'll give it to Tannehill.
Right. Well, if you're going to say Tannehill, fantasy points, you know it's Tannehill because he gets so many garbage time touchdowns and points. Nobody better in the league than Tannehill with that. Just Gary, would you say that this is a game where you could certainly see the Dolphins running game getting back on track?
You know, I could see it, you know, if they focus on it. And, you know, it's so funny that they were really relying on the running game right when they switched their head coach. And then all of a sudden, it seems like the offense got away from running the ball as much. And started depending on Tannehill again. But if they want to, I think this is an opportunity for them because, once again, I say this over and over again, but Baltimore's defense, not the Baltimore it used to be. They're still, you know, hanging in there, but, you know, I think you can run on that defense. And so this is a great opportunity. They should try it.
How many turnovers does Matt Schaub have? You know, that's his thing.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious what Randy has to say about this, but off the top of my head, as soon as you asked the question, I said two.
Let's just say I'm really excited to be starting the Miami defense. I'm ready for that pick six.
I mean, is there anybody on the Ravens that you start in this game?
For me personally, Bud Allen is a guy that you can, you know, definitely use still. I know, you know, people still say, you know, well, Miami's defense is still stout. They can still hold up on the running. But I think they do give up chunks of runs at times. They're not as good as advertised. Don't expect anything huge, but I think you could definitely play him. Besides that, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trusting. Aiken's a good receiver. And I think my distrust of Schaub affects Aiken a little bit here. I think you could maybe wide receiver 3 or 4. I just don't know if we expect a whole lot because I expect Grimes to be on him all the game.
Fair enough. Well, who's winning?
Me, because I don't have to watch it. No, just. Who cares, but give me the home team. Give me Miami.
I'll go with Miami.
Let's sweep it. Why not Miami?
All right. Well, speaking of another home team that doesn't matter, Cincinnati Bengals got to go in and another divisional game and take on the Cleveland Browns with Austin Davis at quarterback. Do we see Johnny Manziel at all in this game?
Yeah, on the sidelines.
I'm talking about actually playing.
No. I mean, I think Cleveland has made it pretty clear that they are going to stick to the punishment.
Well, all right. Well, Gary, what do you think?
I think Randy's right. I don't imagine that they're going to trot out Manziel just to do it. The only way you're going to see that is if Austin Davis gets hurt. So I think your chances are slim unless that happens.
I'm going to laugh if Terrell Pryor starts or plays in front of Manziel.
The guy that's been playing wide receiver. And yeah. God, that's going to be awful.
How big of a blowout is this for the Bengals?
How high do you want to go?
They won 31-7 last week. Is it about as much as that?
It depends if they want to put up 40 or not. 7 sounds about right. Let's just say the line is 11, and I would still pick the Bengals with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I feel like the Bengals are going to walk away with this game. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to go completely crazy. Surprisingly enough, I could see them winning this game like 27-3 or something. You know, they don't have to blow them out. They just got to run the clock down, win the game.
Well, is this a Jeremy Hill or a Giovanni Bernard game?
Okay. You know, it's so hard to trust Hill. It really is. I mean, he has his games now and again, and that's the truth, now and again, which is like every, 3 games, every 4 games maybe. So I think if you ask me, I'll give it to Jeremy Hill just because it's the Cleveland Browns. Why not?
Yeah, you know, they ain't stopping the run.
Yeah, so you're right. I think he has a better game.
All right, everybody picking Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, not saying that they can't do it. We've seen Cleveland give the Bengals trouble before, but the Cincinnati team, they're not those teams of yesteryear, certainly. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think they're done, but technically they're also still not eliminated against the Tennessee Titans. Okay. This is the thing with Bortles. It's, what do you think the Titans' stat line is defensively here with Bortles? How many times does Bortles get sacked? How many times do you throw an interception? Because you know he's always good for one a game. It's like,
you know,
it's
what?
Never failed.
It's failing this time. He gets sacked once and zero interceptions. Bortles,
wow,
does well in this game. How about that?
All right. We shall see. All right, Gary. Fact or fiction, the Jaguars will need a defensive turnover to win this game.
I think that's fiction. I don't think they're going to defensive turnover. I really do think I can trust in Bortles and Yeldon and all those guys to keep the ball going and moving downfield and really just, hey, you know, taking care of the game scoring-wise by themselves and not depending on the defense. So I don't think it's going to have to be something they need.
Well, who has the better day then, Bortles or Mariota?
Answer this correctly.
Jeez, man. This is ridiculous. I mean, legitimately, I mean, you're talking about one of the better fantasy quarterbacks in the league, surprisingly enough, in Bortles. The guy that, you know, has definitely helped team, you know, I'm sure these, some of these teams.
I'm just telling you right now, like, the Titans defense, they have to be somewhere up there in the sack department because they get after you.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about the Titans at all. Really, and they probably have one of the better defenses in the league.
Yeah, I just, you know, they just seem to give up the big play. They're good defense.
You know, Jacksonville does really well. So,
yeah, I know. That's my thing. Yeah, and that's my big thing here. So,
does he still lead the league in the amount of receptions over 20 yards or whatever? I know he was for like a lot of the year. Either way.
Yeah, I just to answer the question, and I'm probably going to be completely wrong, but you know what? I mean, I'm going to give it to Bortles. Mariota's a great quarterback, but I don't know. I trust Jacksonville's defense to be better.
And by the way, yes, he does. He has a 4 receptions more than Gronkowski.
Wow.
As far as the 20-plus. He has 21 of them this year.
Yeah.
21 of his 55 receptions have gone for 20-plus.
Jeez. Allen Robinson, the beast.
Yes. Okay, so fantasy question. Big time. Super decision that I don't want to fail on, Gary.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So it's all on you.
No.
Because I didn't come to you last week. And,
okay.
Poor Gary.
Yep. And I not only picked the wrong tight end last week when I picked Jimmy Graham over, where am I blanking
Julius
on?
Thomas.
Thank you, Julius Thomas. But I also took the wrong defense. I'm set on defense. I just need to know because I picked him up on waivers because I decided to give myself a headache. Julius Thomas or Scott Chandler?
Oh, man.
That's a really difficult one.
Scott's yep. A headache himself.
If Gronk doesn't go, Scott Chandler or Julius Thomas?
I thought it was a thing that he wasn't going to go in this game.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either, but I'm just in case he all of a sudden becomes healthy, then my decision's cakewalk. But
I'll say it this way. I think that, you know, no matter what, Tom Brady always looks for his tight end, and Scott Chandler has proven to be dependable. Thomas is getting
game.
Hot. Well, yeah, the last game, but you know what? That was a pretty darn good defense they were facing. You got to look at the defense that they're playing this week.
Did you see how many times the ball went through his hands?
Wow, they're playing the Broncos. I know, but I look at the quantity over quality at times, and quantity tells me that Scott Chandler's a pretty good tight end when he can.
Oh, no, I agree. The Eagles defense.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to lean towards Scott Chandler. Now, Thomas is hot, but I think when you're talking about yards and the possibility of touchdowns being in his favor, I look at Scott Chandler.
And is Nolan Carroll still out? Because that's going to make a difference, too.
That's a good question, too.
If that rookie's starting again, mm-hmm. you can bet wherever he is, Brady's going to throw over there.
If Amendola was playing, if some other guys are playing, I'd be a little bit more worried. But no, I feel like Scott Chandler would be just fine.
Who did they even sign anybody when they dropped Harper? Or they just go on with whoever?
You're talking about the Patriots, right? I forget that guy's name. It was Harper, right? Yeah, they signed a Dallas Cowboy, Trey Williams.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow Trey Williams is going to, go off in that game or something.
He's going to light the world on fire.
Oh, man.
So.
Well, who's winning this game? Jacksonville and Tennessee.
I am very much all in on Jacksonville in a beyond must-win matchup in fantasy, so I have to go with Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, I believe in Jacksonville, you know, so I'm going with them.
I'm going with Jacksonville, too. All right, Gary, this is the first of one of your games here. Dang it, now I can't remember if it's – is it the Cardinals at Cardinals. The Rams?
I will have to look for you.
What happens when I don't have it on the sheet?
But yeah, Cardinals and Rams this week, and I see here.
Well, yeah, I just can't remember if it's. I think that's the Rams at home, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is the Rams at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I could not find it on the sheet. Not on our sheet, but on the website.
Yeah, so it's the. Yeah. All right. So it's David Johnson, right? The one that's going to.
Yeah.
It's David Johnson for Arizona, and Nick Foles has been announced as the quarterback for the Rams again.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, you know where I'm going with this. Oh boy. How many turnovers is Nick Foles going to have? Because you know he loves doing those. Over under 2.5, Gary.
I'll take the over.
Okay. Turnovers for Nick Foles or touchdowns for Carson Palmer?
Yeah, there you go.
Or touchdowns for Carson Palmer for both of them? That's both.
Yeah, which one is more?
Yeah, which total is higher? The Carson Palmer touchdowns or the Nick Foles turnovers?
That's still not fair.
That's what I'm here for. I don't want to be fair.
Screw it. I'll lean towards Palmer touchdowns. This Rams defense, I've stood on tables for them this year. Last week really embarrassed me. I think the Cardinals are going to control them. They're going to wear them out. It's going to be Palmer's touchdowns.
All right. Well, David Johnson and Todd Gurley, we've seen Todd Gurley not have that many great games recently, and this Arizona defense, we know what they can do. Do you think David Johnson's a factor at all?
Yeah, give me David Johnson, whether he's a factor or not. I mean, over the last, 3, 4, 5 weeks now, Todd Gurley's completely been shut down because that's all you have to do is you stop him. You make sure that you can keep somebody over the top of Tavon Austin, and you just wait for the Rams to make a mistake. So you're going to see 7-8 in the box the entire time against Gurley. And with David Johnson, the Cardinals have so many weapons that you can't even really focus on him. So if he has any talent at all, which I do think he does, he's going to have a decent game.
Well, plus you can send him out on the screen. He'll get you about 20 yards just with his speed by itself. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, would you even start Austin or Gurley in this game, Gary?
You know what? I mean, like Randy just pointed out, Gurley has not been great, especially, you know, if you're depending on him like I am in some fantasy leagues. And it's been a big disappointment against these big matchups. But, you know, it is hard for me to bench this guy. If you definitely have a home run hitter that you know is going to do well, I'm talking about, you know, if you got Adrian Peterson, who, you know, you still don't know if the matchup's there or not, you still start Peterson. But I don't know if you start Gurley. I just say if he's your best option, you go with him. But if you got other guys, if you're stacked at running back, yeah, you can pick over him. I'd pick D'Angelo Williams over him for sure.
All right. Well, Cardinals, everybody?
Yes.
Yep, Cardinals.
Cardinals. All right. Well, Denver gets another rough quarterback to go against, and Phillip Rivers, who, you know, he can put up the yards, he can put up the touchdowns. This is certainly a Denver defense, however, that certainly has proven to make you do the opposite, unless your name is Tom Brady. You know, Brock Osweiler, he's looked good, and he's played. He went from playing a bad defense to a good defense to another bad defense. Over under 2 touchdowns for Brock Osweiler.
Give me the over there. I think this is going to be more of a shootout. I mean, this game could not be more polar opposite to the Patriots game. I mean, you have a San Diego Chargers team that is all about airing the ball out. Their defense isn't that great. It's not going to be snowing in San Diego. It's probably going to be in the low 70s and sunny. So it's completely different than you know, Sunday night. So give me Osweiler to throw a couple touchdowns here.
All right, Gary. CJ Anderson or Ronnie Hillman?
You know what? I mean, Ronnie Hillman has done his job here and there, but CJ Anderson has seemed to be picking up pace. And so I think I would stick with Anderson, even though Hillman, you know, has been a workhorse.
All right. Well, on the Phillip Rivers side, does he get over 300 yards again on the Denver defense?
Oh. You know, I think it's a possibility. You know what? I think I'm going to go slightly under.
What do you think, Randy?
I'm sitting here just back and forth in my head, because I think if San Diego wants any chance of pulling the upset here, he's going to have to. But that Denver defense is pretty stout. I would say over if I felt like it was going to be a blowout. And then obviously all the junk time yardage and stuff. But I just don't see it that way. I really think that if there's like one of these games where you're going, well, obviously Denver's winning, this could be that upset that happens on Sunday. But I'm going to go with Gary. I'm going to say just slightly under.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, Randy, because of this fact. You know, Phillip Rivers, his options are not as great as they were at the beginning of the year. And if he had more weapons, then I would go over for sure.
Is this one of those games where you can maybe play an Owen Daniels or a Vernon Davis or something, and he can get you some decent production?
I don't know about Gary. I mean, Gary is definitely our fast guy. But, I mean, to me, if you're playing a tight end, it's Vernon Davis. It's just from what I noticed the last couple weeks, that's the guy that Osweiler goes to more.
Well, in the game against the Patriots, I don't remember seeing him at all. I remember it was more Owen Daniels, but you're right about the previous games before that.
Yeah. And I am with Randy on this. And the reason I am is because, you know, you do have previous samples to look at. And not only that, you look at the size of Vernon Davis and his ability, and I think that's what Brock Osweiler will look towards. Owen Daniels is a great tight end, but he's a different type. And so that's why I feel like, you know, it's slightly to the edge to Vernon Davis for me. But I don't know. I'm not sold that they're going to have to use their tight ends all the time. I have a feeling that you're going to see these receivers really pick up the pace here because of the weak secondary that the San Diego Chargers has.
All right, who wins the game?
Denver.
I'm going to say Denver.
Yeah, I would love to call the upset here, but no, give me Denver.
All right, so we got two teams. I don't know what you call them. One that sort of feels like they're still in something, certainly in the wild card race, I guess. And then you got the 49ers. Gary, is this another decent game here for Blaine Gabbert, considering it's that Bears defense?
You know, I can see it. You know, the Bears defense has been a little undersold at times. I feel like that they can tighten up just like, you know, what we saw them do against the Packers. Of course, that was, you know, weather conditions and all things like that. But we've seen them against other teams earlier in the year. You know, they, you know, tightened up against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson wasn't able just to do whatever he wanted in that game. So you got to respect them. You definitely do. But I could definitely see Gabbert having some success here. I wouldn't expect an abundance of it, but I mean, I could definitely see him getting a couple of touchdowns if, you know, it's allowed.
Well, you know, we've seen a bunch of these. Who's the one that scores? If the 49ers score a touchdown, who's the one that does it? Vance McDonald again? Or did they finally get one running with Sean Drone? Or what do you think, Randy?
That Sean Drone gets a touchdown?
Yeah, who gets the touchdown for the 49ers if they score it?
I don't think any of them do. Going on the road to Chicago again, who's gotten extra rest and how well they've been playing, I see a big goose egg in the 49ers' near future.
Oh, wow. All right.
He's a lot higher than I am on Chicago's defense, which I respect him a lot. I think I thought I was high on Chicago's defense. You know, I could definitely understand that. If you're going to ask me, and let's just say it's going to happen, I probably would put my money on Drones. I just feel like that, you know, he's had a lot more success than I expected, and I don't know. I think that it could happen, even though, despite the fact that I just said that, you know, Gabbert could have two touchdowns, but I'm not sold that's going to happen, but I could see him having some success.
All right, Jeremy Langford or Matt Forte, Gary?
Hey, you know what? Langford's a great back, and he's done a lot of good things, but I really feel like Forte is still the man, and I still think they're going to feed him. You know, so I to me personally, it's a slight edge, but I think I'm going to give it to Forte here.
Is this one of those games that you should be expecting higher production from Alshon Jeffrey, or you think the San Francisco defense is going to key in on him?
To what you're saying here, I believe both. I think that San Francisco is definitely going to key on him. They're going to double team whatever they need to do. But guess what? Jeffrey's is good. And he's going to find a way to get open, and I think he's going to still have a pretty good day, even with, you know, double coverage.
Yeah, I think they'll try to double cover him at the beginning, but if Forte's healthy and they really start getting him in the passing game, at that point they're going to have to bring that guy back off of Jeffries and then watch Alshon rip him up in the second half.
Is everybody picking Chicago here?
Yes.
Yeah, give me the Bears.
The Bears. All right. So Sunday Night Football, a matchup that a little bit more difficult possibly here. Indianapolis Colts with Matt Hasselbeck, undefeated himself against the Pittsburgh Steelers and a banged up Ben Roethlisberger. You know, we've seen what we've seen what the Steelers do. We know what the Colts can do, at least shootout game here between these two. Certainly.
No, not. I'm not going to go certainly. I think Pittsburgh controls this game a lot more than some people think. I do think the Ahmad Bradshaw injury, where now he's out for the year, is going to affect a bit more than people think. I mean, his numbers were never that great, but he was kind of that safety net for Hasselbeck, and to be in there on those third down conversions and stuff, because Frank Gore, just that's not his game. And sure, you can say Big Ben's banged up, but that was definitely more of a safety precaution. I think he comes back just as healthy as ever, and I think they pull away. I think this is Hasselbeck's first loss.
You know, Antonio Brown's probably going to be shadowed by Vontae Davis most of the game, but do you still – you think he's going to have a better game than he did last week, Gary?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not sold he's going to have a better week this week. I mean, I think he'll have a decent week, especially, you know, we all know when, you know, him and Roethlisberger are together, success is usually had. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's going to have a better week than last week.
Was that a one-week thing for Marcus Wheaton? Or?
You know what? I will say this. If it wasn't for the fact that you had Bryant as a part of this offense, I would definitely say it would be more than one. But I just think that there's too many receivers to let that happen more than last week.
All right. Do you, is this, would you start D'Angelo Williams then?
Oh, yeah. For me personally, I would.
Over, you think Frank Gore will do anything, or is he?
Frank Gore's a great option just because of the fact that he's usually a pretty good threat against most defenses, just the way that Indianapolis uses him, but, you know, if I had both those guys on a fantasy team, I think I'm picking D'Angelo Williams.
All right, fair enough. Do you think... all right, I'm trying to think here. We think this is one of those games where they get to Hasselbeck and he finally has a bad game and... You know, it'll be more about the Steelers' defense than Ben Roethlisberger throwing in this one.
Yep, that's how I see it. I think this is going to be a rough one for Hasselbeck and the Colts.
The way I'm looking at this, being a pretty even game for me personally, just because of the fact that I think that, you know, I think some of the concerns that you just kind of mentioned, Sean, and are just, you know, going to be factors in the game. But I think Hasselbeck will do decent, but I think, you know, it's going to come down to a field goal in this game.
I think part of it's also going to depend on what Houston does earlier in the day, too. Because if Houston loses, that means Indianapolis can afford a loss. And Pittsburgh's at the point where their schedule is rough the whole rest of the way. If they feel like they're going to get this one, they're going to come at Hasselbeck to try to get it, because they know that they should have had the last game. They can't afford to lose anymore. So, that's why I'm going Steelers, because I think the Steelers are at a point where they probably need to be winning every game. What do you got? Who do you guys got for the prediction?
Yeah, I just think the Steelers are a better team, so I give them the win there. I think the AFC South tries to battle with the NFC East for the worst records. I think they go, wait a minute, we have two teams over 500 now, and they have none? No, we better fix that.
Yeah. you know, I think that, you know, of course, you know, I'm not high on the Steelers defense. Of course, I'm not high on the Colts defense either. I think it'll be a pretty even matchup for me. I look at this as being a game that's going to depend on turnovers, and of course, a game that could possibly come down to a last minute field goal. And you know what? I'm going to give it to the Colts. I think it's going to be a really, really close game.
All All right, Gary. Here's that Monday Night Football game. The Dallas Cowboys always seem to, whether they're leading the division or it's the opposite way where they're not this time, and Washington's leading the division, they wind up usually biting the team in the ass. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, who's doing what. These two teams wind up playing each other tough most of the time. I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins do pretty well. Do you think Kirk Cousins over under 2 touchdowns in this game?
I'll take the over. I think, you know, it's going to come down to, both these quarterbacks, Castle and Cousins, and having to make sure that they can air out the ball out. I think both defenses are going to try to focus on stopping the run, and they're going to depend on their secondary to get the rest of the job, done. So, I feel like it could be over.
McFadden or Morris?
I'm going to lean towards Morris in this because I think that Morris is going to have more opportunities. I just like this Redskins defense too much to give it to McFadden.
How many turnovers for Matt Castle, Randy?
I'm going to say 2. I'd say semi-clean game for him. Maybe 1 in junk time where they're trying to get back into it.
All right. Who we got?
Sorry, I got to go with Washington at home.
I'm trying to think. I know on my pick-ems, I chose Dallas, not because I think they're going to win, because I really don't. I think this is going to be the Redskins' game to win. But I'm just because of pick-em's sake, I'm going to go with Dallas, but I don't really believe that's going to be the case.
Washington has not won a back-to-back game in 19 games. I know they're great at home, but those records are meant to be broken. I think Dallas... I think, honestly, Matt Castle's gotten more confident in this offense. He looked really comfortable at the tail end there of that Panthers game. I think he's gotten more comfortable with the offense as it's gone along. There's obviously anomalies with like the Tampa Bay game or whatever, but the division games is when he's played his best. So I'm going to go with that. I think they're going to want to play spoiler to Washington. So Dallas in this one. Well, that does it for our week 13 preview. Thank God I put 13 in the actual description. Let's go with these big conference championship games for college football. You ready, Randy, with this?
Yeah. So this is the week. This is where everything kind of gets figured out as far as the playoffs
this is
and stuff.
Where the money is made and the cookie crumbles all in one.
In the same games. So let's just kind of run down these games. Let's start out with the one game that gets played on Saturday that's not a conference championship game, just because it is Texas. Any chance you guys see them pulling up the major upset at Baylor? Or do you think Baylor just destroys them?
I think Baylor wins.
Ooh.
Well, this is the one week we don't have pick-ems on the line, so.
Yep.
You know what? I'll go Baylor, too.
Yeah, I don't see how you can't. Texas fire their coach after this game?
No, I don't think so.
It'll be very interesting to see how all that works. Okay, so we get to the conference championship games. The one that doesn't matter really at all, the American Conference, number 22 Temple at number 19 Houston. Houston's been red hot. Look, I want to watch a bit of this game because it looks like it's going to be very high scoring. I haven't watched any of Temple. I've seen a little bit of Houston this year. this DeMarcus Ayers kid for Houston is one of the better receivers in the country. So I want to watch a little bit of him. And it just would be by itself, really. I mean, unless you want to watch Baylor trounce Texas. So I'm taking Houston here. I don't know what you guys think.
I'm going to go with Houston as well.
Yep, I'm going Houston.
All right, so let's get to the big ones. Let's get to, another most likely blowout. SEC championship game, number 18, Florida, who scored a total of 2 points against Florida State last week, against number 2, Alabama. If we want to see a lot of ridiculousness happen in the playoffs, Alabama would need to lose. I don't see that happening. I see them completely blowing out Florida. You guys agree?
Yeah, that's exactly what I see.
It would be the biggest upset, I think, of this whole championship weekend if that happened. Florida won.
Florida was that surprising team all year, I think. During the summer, when we were talking about all these conferences, we all kind of had them as middle of the pack, as like an up and coming team. They definitely outkicked their coverage a little bit, and it's come back down to earth here the last few games. I think it crashes down for good in that one. How about the Pac-12 championship game? Stanford's been playing really good. Get that really close victory over Notre Dame last week. USC, again, another one of those teams that was a possible decent team this year. We all thought it was another year or two out, but now here they are with a chance not only to win the Pac-12, but to keep Stanford out of any possible playoff predicament. And that's why I'm actually taking USC as the upset, because that's what the Pac-12 does. They just screw each other over all year. I do think it's a very close game either way, but just for the fact that anytime somebody has a chance to get in that playoff picture, another Pac-12 team comes in and beats them on the road. Give me USC here.
I was actually going to say USC as well.
You know, I'm going to be different. I'll go Stanford.
Any reasoning?
Not really particular. I think that Stanford's still a pretty solid team, and USC has every right and potential to do it, but I don't know. I just have a gut feeling that's going to be what I'm going to hang on, is that gut feeling Stanford's going to win.
All right. And then Brian that
still holding on to that Stanford win.
Yeah.
that 8 o'clock Eastern time is, I think, where things go completely crazy. You have the Pac-12 game 15 minutes before that, but the two big games to me, the Big Ten championship game, the playoff play-in, if you will, number 5 Michigan State, number 4 Iowa. I know a lot of people are down on Iowa, thinking, you know, they shouldn't be in this, even though they're undefeated, and the stupid things that I've seen where Vegas would have like 21 different teams favored against them if they played, and how they shouldn't have a chance. But listen, nobody's beat them yet. They are undefeated. They deserve to be here. But I'm a big Connor Cook guy. And hell, even Michigan State goes out and beats Ohio State without Connor Cook. So I think Michigan State's just a better team. I think Iowa's story has been great. They deserve to be in the championship game. But give me Michigan State here in another close game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Randy. To be honest with you, I love to root for Iowa because everybody's counting them out. Everybody just, you know, rags on them all the time. But it's just too hard for me to go against Michigan State, especially the way they've done things this year.
Oh, man. You know what? I like a good underdog. I'm going to go with Iowa on this one.
Speaking of a good underdog, here we go with our final one here. Number 10, North Carolina, at the undefeated Clemson Tigers. Or I guess not at, but against Clemson. North Carolina just getting ripped on by the playoff committee, still sitting at 10, even though they have run off 11 straight games, only losing to South Carolina back when South Carolina was looked at as a decent team before Spurrier left and the whole thing fell apart, which I think has definitely killed them. But listen, I like North Carolina. They're playing extremely great. Hood is a great running back, has 16 touchdowns this year. Marquise Williams is pretty good. I honestly think they come in and they pull the big upset and cause all sorts of havoc here. So give me number 10 North Carolina here.
Oh, man. I'm going to say Clemson. I just think that they're so close. They're not going to lose it here.
You know, I have a special place for North Carolina in my heart, especially since I can go there and take my shirt off and wave it around my head like a helicopter. But I've got to go Clemson. You know, not everybody can be like Petey Pablo in North Carolina. It's got to, I hate to do it, but I'm going to go Clemson.
Only Gary would bring up Petey Pablo still. Just saying. Well, that's it for the podcast this this Friday morning. We, of course, this is the first time you're listening to us, or you've stuck around the whole season, or whatever. Thank you. We appreciate it. Hopefully you're subscribing to Football Tuple so you can get it every time that we put one out here. Or you can just go subscribe to WTM Network on iTunes and Stitcher, or you can go subscribe to it on YouTube, or just find it on Spreaker, where all the other podcasts are. We just finished the Rest of the Max podcast. We took that fan survey to talk about what's wrong with Raw and what we don't like about it, and, you know, just ask some questions to some of the other people and see what they thought, and... You know, we go over the shows we normally go over, and still pretty good podcast. You know, WWE's looking at some people again. Don't know if Shinsuke Nakamura or Jay Lethal will show up there, but who knows? Co-op Multi, we did it today as well. Get some predictions for PlayStation Experience, and we also get some predictions of what they might show for Game Awards and... Man, they shocked with a lot of the stuff. No idea Psychonauts 2 or Telltale Batman was coming, but good to see those things out there. Yeah. And then, of course, we got Randy with his podcast here. Tell people about it.
Yeah, it's just two nerds playing through some games that just have slipped through the cracks for us and discussing them, ranging everything from, you know, old NES games to... Xbox One and PS4 games. Definitely check out the Backlog Busting Project at backlogbusting.com. Our next podcast is releasing on Tuesday, where we talk about Suikoden 2. Wes goes through the old PlayStation 1 Tomba game, and I go through a weird vault and play Sonic Chaos for the Sega Game Gear just for fun.
Oh, goodness. The Game Gear, the thing that, like, kills batteries faster than
kills not only does it kill batteries, but if you don't have that thing sitting at the perfect angle, you can't see shit.
This is before they figured out lighting was...
Yes.
Jeez.
But, yeah, so we will... I'll be doing... I think for sure I'm going to have to wind up canceling the Rival for Sunday night because... I just don't see that working out with that poor kid can't be awake till midnight. So, for sure, Monday night, doing the whole rabble for the Cowboys Redskins. We'll be, you know, you can check me out doing that. Hopefully, Gary will join me so I can not have to do it by myself. But I've kind of gotten used to it by now. And then we'll be doing the podcast on Monday night after that game is over and... recapping all of NFL Week 13 and then seeing if we can make any more hay there with the playoff pictures.
And recapping how I beat you to get the bye week in the Fantasy League, Sean.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to see about that.
Well, that Richard Rodgers Hail Mary catch definitely helped.
Oh, I'm sure. Damn it. But anyway, yeah, and then of course we'll be getting to talk about the, if we can finally get some clarity on the college football playoffs and all that stuff too. So, all right, everybody, until next week, see you later.